This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Embracing Change. We are excited to join you again for another episode. And the name of this episode is The Difference Between Pushing and Pulling. And that's an interesting subject line as far as the things that you want to talk about. So I'm excited to hear your perspective on the differences of that and how you've applied that through your journey.
Well, I think that, you know, for me, pushing and pulling, I heard in a training a few years ago about if the building is on fire, do you care if someone pushes you out or pull you out? Which one?
I wouldn't care, I guess.
Exactly.
As long as I got out.
Exactly. But if you're dealing with change, you want somebody to push you or pull you?
Probably pull, I guess. Because to push would cause me to go forward without them, I guess. If they're pulling me, they're going before me.
Okay. And so when I heard that terminology, either way, you know, it depends on the situation. Sometimes people want to be pulled into change because they don't know how to do it themselves.
Yep.
Some people want to be pushed in it because they're too afraid to move themselves.
Yeah.
And so what I want to talk about is how easy it is to be pulled back into something by triggering, or you can push yourself forward, catapult yourself forward in spite of.
So
what I want to talk about is that I want to give, if you're listening, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about a time in your life when you knew that you needed to do something different, but you didn't even know how. And in that moment, you just knew that something needed to change. You found yourself on top of this cliff, and you couldn't remember. You had something on your back. You couldn't remember, was it just a backpack or was it a parachute? And the person that was next to you said, "Let's just jump." Would you want them to push you? Or would you want them to pull you? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Because when you're both on the ledge of some great opportunity, it really shouldn't matter. If you both have a backpack on, you've got to trust that someone has the parachute, even if you don't. So when it comes to change, it's really about trusting. There's going to be people who will push you, and there's going to be people who will pull you. But if you end up where you want to be, does it really matter?
Yeah, it doesn't.
But I want to talk about people pushing us backwards or pulling us backwards into places we don't want to go.
Yeah, that we've left.
And so if you're not careful, at this point in my journey, you've heard a lot of things, but in 1997, I actually found my biological mom. If you've read my book, you know about that. And, even before I found her, I talked about getting my name changed. And I believe that the only reason I was to find this woman was to get my name. But because there's something so deep inside of us by nature and nurture that once we find something we've been missing, we go after it without permission, or we go past the boundaries. So it pulls us back into situations and feelings of rejection and abandonment all over again. It's almost like certain things you can feel like you're being raped all over again, certain ways, And that's why when I was in therapy, and even though I had the little girl in the chair, she would always tell me to set new boundaries, to be mindful of triggers and people and places and things and patterns and all of that. And so I just remember when I met my mom, my biological mom, Evelyn Turner, at the age of 37, I just remember the whole thing. And if you haven't read my book, then go read it, because I'm not going to go into all those details.
Right.
But what I am going to go to is that after I got out of therapy, even in the beginning, I was recommended to go to therapy every 2 to 3 years, to just like a car, right? Every 90 days or every 5 months, we go get oil changes, you know, and that's so our cars will run as effective and efficient as they can. I believe in being in therapy or getting counseling every 3 to 5 years in your life. It helps you keep your oil changed in your life, and you continue to be pulled into opportunities, perhaps, or even pushed into opportunities that you normally would not encounter, because you have a safe space of trust that you can talk these issues out.
Yeah.
And so one, I had written my mom a letter before I met her in therapy, in one of my therapy sessions, and I'm going to read that letter to you now. And it says, "Dear Mom, I'm writing this letter to finalize some things for myself and to really release you from the decision you made on September 12, 1960, when I was born. I've grown up and I've had to go through a lot of things to arrive where I am today, and I thank God that I went through it all, because it was those bad times that made me who I am this day. Of course, I must admit, for a long time, I didn't understand why you gave me away. But I know today that was the way it had to be. I thank you for giving me to Mrs. Mary Wilms. She instilled in me a lot of things, and one was to love you always. She never asked me to dislike you. And when she talked about you, she always seemed to describe you as a nice person. I know today that's why I never did hate you as a person, but always wonder why you made the decision to give me away. And I may never find out, but I've grown to accept that through the love of God, I am learning who I am. I need you to know I love you, and I have forgiven you for doing what you did with the only information you had. I hope to perhaps one day meet you. But one thing for sure is I know I don't need that to become whole again. God has already taken care of that, and I am so very grateful. He has allowed me to know who I am, who I was, and who I can become. I pray everything in your life is good, and I'll always pray that for you. Love, your daughter, Lucreta." Now, I wrote this letter in 1995. And so in 1997, I met my mother, and we all know about that. It's in my book. Go read my book. If you don't remember, just go read chapter. It's called 8 Steps Away, I think it is.
Yep.
And so go read it. But I ended up meeting my mother, and when I met my mom was in such denial that her denial had the potential to push and pull my life in ways that I never thought possible. And one, I said in this letter in 95 that I had forgiven her. But I realized, meeting her face to face, there was a lot of unanswered questions that I really did want to know. And I remember asking her constantly when I would, because I only had a 3-year span, though I didn't know I only had a 3-year span. My mom ended up dying in September of 2000. I met her in August of 97. And so in that span, I was like really searching for something. Like I was searching for, I think, my identity. I wanted to know so many things, and I wanted to understand why she did what she did. But she never would take responsibility. So it was kind of pulling me back to emotions that I thought I had gotten over.
Yeah.
And so I want to read a letter that the first letter I ever got after I met my mom. She wrote me a letter. I met my mom in August of 97. This letter was written to me August the 19th of 1997. And she says, "Good evening, baby girl. I received your letter today and was very happy to get it. It is always an honor as well as an happiness to hear from you. I thank God every day that he let us find one another again. After hearing your tape, you have come a long, long way. Keep the good work up and continue to keep the Lord in your life. I'm as well as I can be expected at, I am well as I can be expected for my age and condition. My mom had heart condition. She had a bad heart. Lucreta, I want you to pray that God will take the desire for the cigarettes from me. I try, but I can't seem to stop smoking. I need help from someone greater than myself. I spoke with Miss Bernice the other day. She is doing fine. Baby girl, I'm very glad things are going fine for you and Charles. Just keep on loving each other, and everything will continue to work all right. How is my grandson doing? Give him a kiss for me. Your brother and sister are okay. And maybe if you come down here for Labor Day, I spoke with your big sister today, and she said she would love to meet you and get to know you. Since I don't know the way to her house, she'll have to come here. I want to spend as much time with you as I can. I know I can't make up for the time I've missed. I just want you to know all your real family. Love you, Lucreta, and always have loved you. Remember that. You were not an infant when Mary took you away. She stole you from me. You were 4 or 5 years old, too young to remember, but you were taken away without my consent. I never gave you away. I'll close this letter, but never my heart. Love you, Mom. Mama. And it was just so, you know, when I would hear that, it would push me into emotions that was like, does she even know what she's saying? Because if someone took you, then there is I think there's a system in the world called justice, and there's a justice system called police.
Yeah.
And there's a police called FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation,
right,
that for kidnapped children.
Right.
And I'm thinking, denial?
Yeah.
Mental illness? Or just no responsibility?
Yeah.
And so if I wasn't careful, it was pushing me back into places and pulling me back into places that was not the reason finding you and discovering you. It was only creating these needs in me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally
And so
does.
It was like she just kept on. The more I would go after, I just wanted her to acknowledge, you know what I mean, or give me some history or give me, you know. And she had given me what she had for me. It was my need to keep pushing into something that was unhealthy for me. And she had given me my name. The day I met her, I should have walked down those steps and never looked back. Because in April of that year, I had got that, you know, that revelation in church worship that God was going to give me a new name. And then in that same year, I meet my biological mom.
Yeah.
And the only person that could give me my new name or my original name was her.
Right.
Because everyone had been enunciating it, Lucretia. When it was her who named me Lucreta. And just because it had an I in it didn't make it Lucretia, but it made it sound better because the I, everybody wanted to enunciate the I. But it is Lucreta. The I was silent, she said. So I believed her, and I believed her only because the Lord had said to me in worship, I'm going to give you a new name.
Yeah.
And so a few months later, I meet this woman. But I go on this pursuit to push myself into a place and pull myself into place and my husband and everybody else, my grandson, my son, and everybody else trying to get something that she could not give me. Because she was strictly in denial of the facts. And she sweared that this woman stole me. In her first letter to me, she says this. I should have ran then. What was wrong with me?
you had a need for your mother.
Exactly, because naturally, I don't care how old we get,
yep,
we will always have this need to be nurtured by the woman because God created it that way.
Right.
And yep, so it was rightfully mine,
right,
to have.
That's right.
But I still have met a woman that wasn't able to give it to me.
Yeah, I think what it just maybe showed you was that she wasn't capable from the very beginning and even up into adulthood. Well, not into adulthood, but into your adulthood, she was still not able to give you what you needed. Like she was lacking something for whatever reason. So, and in hearing that letter, did her giving you the term of endearments, did it bother you when she was calling you baby girl?
I know. Yes. It still bothers me reading it today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because first of all, you know what it shows me, and then maybe I'm just getting this revelation today. Oh, my God, right here with you all. Maybe she was calling me baby girl because in her mind and heart, that's who I still was.
That little girl, yeah. Because she missed all of your growing up.
Exactly. So she was stuck in that moment and in that decision.
Hmm.
And so every letter she wrote me, she started it off with, hello, baby girl.
Baby girl.
You know what I mean? Every yeah. letter, I'm looking at all these letters that I have right here. She didn't write many, but it was only my birthday that she the first two letters she wrote me, it was baby girl.
I have to tell you, that's even helping me because my story is a little bit similar. My birth mother walked away when I was an infant and then showed back up when I was 9. And she would call me wormy, like as in an affectionate term, like wormy, my little wormy. And it used to really bother me because I kept thinking, you haven't really earned the right and the position to call me with an endearment like that. And now listening to you, it's like, well, maybe she was stuck. I mean, I would have never considered that until you just said it.
I'm telling you, it was like just that moment I got that revelation.
It gives me a little bit of mercy.
Yeah, that again, speaking from the heart versus the head.
Yeah.
You know, like the heart just spoke to my head saying, maybe she was just seeing you as that little girl
yeah.
that she walked away from.
Yeah,
and
I'm
even
sure.
though you were 37, she still saw you. She was stuck just like you were. Just like I was stuck,
yeah.
though I was 32, I was still the 5-year-old little girl. And notice she said that my mother didn't take me. It was 4 or 5 that she got me. So I was stuck at that 5-year-old little girl. And maybe she was stuck at that 5-year-old little girl.
Yeah.
And so baby girl was that way that she was still being stuck. And so
yeah.
she had that moment was having the potential to pull me and push me into places that I thought I had kind of unraveled myself from. So I was being pushed and pulled into places in that moment that not necessarily that I wanted to be, but emotionally and physically and naturally and relationally, I was being pushed and pulled, trying to figure out how to navigate this lady that I now, and because my foster mother was passed away, she was the only mother sitting in front of me. I didn't have to choose between two mothers because one was already gone. And then here, this one was presented.
Yeah, but knowing Mary Helen from your eyes, she would have never denied you or made you choose.
She wouldn't have stolen me either.
Right.
She wouldn't,
right.
You know
that logically, right?
She wouldn't have stole me. Nobody came to our house and said, you are under arrest for kidnap.
Right, right, right.
She wouldn't have stole me.
But that's a convenient answer, right? That keeps her from having to take responsibility for the choice she made.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? And I think kids know that. Like, you could smell the lie in that, right? You knew mm-hmm. that wasn't truth. And that irks you when you've not been raised with her and you want her to reconcile and you want it to be based in truth. And yet, if you're always dancing around the truth, can't ever get to it. Like, how can you have an equal, true relationship, right?
Exactly. So I probably may have read the letters. I'm going to read. This was my first letter. I'm sorry. I read the letters out of order. This was my first one. This was dated August the 9th. And so our family reunion was probably the 4th of August of 97.
That she sent you.
Yeah, was the first one. Okay. I read. I got two back to back. I think she was, you know. But anyways, let me read this one. Because it's still in denial, but let me read it. She's still pushing and pulling. It says, "Hello, baby girl. I received your pictures and letter today and was so happy to once again to hear from you. Give my love to your husband and son. Lucreta, I love you so very, very much. I'm very, very sorry I found you, and much more sorry I didn't know where you were all these years. No one knows the future, but I truly believe things would have been different if I could have had you with me. I've never not for one day of your life stopped loving you and wanting you. Believe me, honey, I had no idea where you were. And if you would have come back with me, I would have came for you. Now that we have found each other, I pray to God our relationship will continue until the good Lord calls me home. Baby, please continue to keep in touch with me. It's okay if you just send cards. Just don't forget me. And for the rest of your family, baby, as I read your paper, there are so many things that happened to you in your young age." Because I had sent her all my articles. I wanted her to know exactly what I went through. So I sent her all of that information. And so she goes on to say, "You went through so much in life. I feel within my heart I could have prevented most of them. And darling, you were not given away. You were no better. There's no better word for it than you were kidnapped. Anytime I think a person not putting anything bad on Mary," meaning my mother, "but she took you away without my permission or knowledge. Your brother Charles, my stepbrother, took him until I could get on my feet and be able to care for him properly, at which time when I got a better job and was able to take proper care of him, my brother cried, but he gave him back. And he was with me until he was grown up and ready to leave home. As would you have been if I had had a chance. I love you, Lucreta, and I don't ever want you to forget that. I've missed all your years we've been apart, and I thank God for you for giving me the blessing of having you back in my life. I close this letter, but never my heart. Love you, Mama. Expect to hear from me soon, and I expect to hear from you." So, again, that was...
There's something on the back of that, too.
Back, it says, "I love you, baby."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And so I'm just saying that the push, the pull, the, you know what I'm saying, opening up these letters and sharing them with my audience or the people that's listening, what I guess I want to say is that if we're not careful to guard our hearts and guard our minds and our lives, people will pull us and push us in places that we never were meant to go in. And I mean, if I was not careful with guarding my heart, she could have defiled my thoughts and memories of the woman who did raise me, because she presented a case that this woman took me without her permission. And I know that we're not the smart, you know, back then that people might not have been the smartest, but police was everywhere. I think we've had police for a long time.
Right.
And so it just didn't make sense. And I think she was somewhat in some denial, but I think she did the best she could with what she had. And even to her dying day, this is when I knew, and I don't know if I've ever told this story, but I'm going to tell it today. Because, again, my mother and I had this ongoing relationship for 3 years, and she died in September of 2000. when I went to her funeral, now she's, y'all heard the letters I wrote. She never forgot about me. She always thought about me, wondered where I was. I was kidnapped. But when she passed away and I got her obituary, my name was nowhere in it. Mm. So let me say this. I'm in your life for 3 years. Your daughter has met me, which is my sister. I met my biological brother. They knew me. They saw me. We had dinners together. We fellowshiped. They knew I was your daughter. You acknowledged that I was your daughter. And yet, when I walk into that funeral home and get the program, and when I look in the obituary, my name was nowhere to be mentioned. And when my sister Dolly came to me and said, I'm sorry that your name is not in here, but Mama prepared her stuff way before she passed away. So what was I to think? You talk about pushing and pulling. I'm sitting in that chair. I'll never forget it. And as I'm sitting there, my husband's with me, and I'm sitting there, and I can hardly hear the service because I am being pushed and pulled by rejection and abandonment, and they have a voice.
Oh, yeah.
And I could hear them saying, pick me back up. Pick me up. We talk about the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and all of those sites that the people talked about when they were about ready to go in the promised land.
In the Bible, yeah.
In the Bible.
Yeah.
I could hear all of them talking to me at that funeral. I mean, at my feet, saying to me, pick me back up. Nurture me again. My name is abandonment. My name is insecurity. My name is rejection. I could hear them over and over. And all of a sudden, I remember, all of a sudden, I felt snatched. So that would mean I was pulled into a space that I heard another voice say to me, you can believe who they say you are, or you can believe who I have said you are.
Mm.
Your choice.
Mm.
I sent you for your name. And you had to go after a relationship. So you pulled yourself back into this crap. Now you pushed yourself back into this relationship that I was never meaning to give you. Now I'm saying I can pull you out by just telling you who you are. The question is, will you believe me? And I remember sitting there looking at that coffin with the flowers on top, realizing I'm not who she says I am. I'm not even who she says I'm not.
That's right.
I am who God has already said I was.
Ooh, yes.
And I am beloved,
yes,
and a child of God.
Amen, yes.
And I decided that day I'm not going to the graveyard because as far as I'm concerned, this relationship is dead to me, because the only thing I was needing from her was my original name. And you know what? But I do not regret the 3 years, because I learned so many things. I learned that I had genetically heart disease, diabetes, and all of these things that I would use to go to the doctor, and they would ask me, what's your family history? And there was times when I would say, in that moment, I don't know.
Yeah.
That day, I was pulled into information. Those 3 years, I got pulled in and pushed information that I never would have had. So when I go to the doctor now and they ask me, it's because of those 3 years I'm able to tell them what genetically where I came from.
Yeah.
But I know also that in that moment, when I realized that, the Lord even said to me, you don't need her to validate who you came from. You write your own name in that obituary because you are Evelyn's daughter. And it was ordained by me.
Yeah, you can't deny it.
You can't deny it.
Right.
Whether she ever mentioned it, whether it was something they did or whether it was something she did, you'll never know.
Yeah.
Because she's gone. But what you do know is who you belong to, and you belong to me.
Yeah.
And from that day to this day, I've learned that I have to be very careful with who I surround myself with, where I'm pulled to, where I'm pushed to, what that triggers in me, how other people can trigger you to go, try to go back to where you've been instead of pulling you forward to where you're going. But either way, you have to decide and choose how you're going to operate from that space.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So how do you, in being careful, like what do you do exactly?
Well, I'm just, I just recognize the energy. I recognize the people.
Recognize the energy.
I recognize the energy. I know when people are trying to pull me because they have not either matured in their own identity.
Yep.
And I have the awareness now.
Yeah.
And I think all of this that I just shared today gave me that power.
Yeah, it gave you the ability to identify.
It gave me the ability to identify and become aware of when I'm being trying to be pulled back into a place that I've already healed from, or I'm being delivered from, or I'm healing from.
It almost sounds like a trigger.
It is. It's called a trigger.
that's the only term
pattern.
I can think of.
Yeah. It's a pattern. You can be pushed back into your patterns or pulled back into your pattern. But you have to be aware that they are patterns and triggers that try to get you to get stuck in places you don't want to be.
Yeah, so run away.
So you have to begin to be like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. Run, Forrest, run.
That's right.
Why are you running, Forrest? I am running because I don't want to be pushed back into patterns and triggers. And I'm running because I don't want to be pulled back into patterns and triggers. If you're not pulling me forward to a place that's going to give me purpose and passion, leave me alone.
Amen.
Why are you running, Forrest? I don't know. I'm just running. But I'm going to run.
Amen. Oh, that's funny. Oh, but that's a good analogy. So, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. It's been really good talking about your mom and your experiences with that. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I'll see you guys next time.
Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lakrita Bowman.